Hello, and welcome to the Daily Bible Reading Podcast. In our Old Testament segment today, we'll be reading 2 Chronicles, chapters 33 and 34. Chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he was king for 55 years in Jerusalem. He did what the Lord said was wrong. He did the hateful things the nations had done, the nations that the Lord had forced out of the land ahead of the Israelites. Manasseh's father, Hezekiah, had torn down the places where gods were worshipped, but Manasseh rebuilt them. He also built altars for the Baal gods, and he made Asherah idols and worshipped all the stars of the sky and served them. The Lord had said about the temple, "I will be worshipped in Jerusalem forever," but Manasseh built altars in the temple of the Lord. He built altars to worship the stars in two of the courtyards of the temple of the Lord. He made his children pass through fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. He practiced magic and witchcraft and told the future by explaining signs and dreams. He got advice from mediums and fortune-tellers. He did many things the Lord said were wrong, which made the Lord angry. Manasseh carved an idol and put it in the temple of God. God had said to David and his son Solomon about the temple, "I will be worshipped forever in this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel. I will never again make the Israelites leave the land I gave to their ancestors. But they must obey everything I have commanded them and all the teachings, rules, and commands I gave them through Moses." But Manasseh led the people of Judah and Jerusalem to do wrong. They did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed ahead of the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they did not listen. So the Lord brought the king of Assyria's army commanders to attack Judah. They captured Manasseh, put hooks in him, placed bronze chains on his hands, and took him to Babylon. As Manasseh suffered, he begged the Lord his God for help and humbled himself before the God of his ancestors. When Manasseh prayed, the Lord heard him and had pity on him. So the Lord let him return to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is the true God. After that happened, Manasseh rebuilt the outer wall of Jerusalem and made it higher. It was in the valley on the west side of the Gihon Spring and went to the entrance of the Fish Gate and around the hill at Ophel. Then he put commanders in all the strong-walled cities in Judah. Manasseh removed the idols of other nations, including the idol in the temple of the Lord. He removed all the altars he had built on the temple hill and in Jerusalem and threw them out of the city. Then he set up the Lord's altar and sacrificed on it fellowship offerings and offerings to show thanks to God. Manasseh commanded all the people of Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. The people continued to offer sacrifices at the places of worship, but their sacrifices were only to the Lord their God. The other things Manasseh did as king, his prayer to God, and what the seer said to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, are all recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Manasseh's prayer and God's pity for him, his sins, his unfaithfulness, the places he built for worshipping gods and the Asherah idols before he humbled himself are written in the book of the seers. Manasseh died and was buried in his palace. Then Manasseh's son Amon became king in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he was king for 2 years in Jerusalem. He did what the Lord said was wrong, as his father Manasseh had done. Amon worshipped and offered sacrifices to all the carved idols Manasseh had made. Amon did not humble himself before the Lord as Manasseh had done. Instead, Amon sinned even more. King Amon's officers made plans against him and killed him in his palace. Then the people of the land killed all those who had made plans to kill King Amon, and they made his son Hoshaiah king in his place. Chapter 34. Hoshaiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he ruled 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what the Lord said was right. He lived as his ancestor David had lived, and he did not stop doing what was right. In his 8th year as king, while he was still young, Hoshaiah began to obey the God of his ancestor David. In his 12th year as king, Hoshaiah began to remove from Judah and Jerusalem the gods, the places for worshipping gods, the Asherah idols, and the wooden and metal idols. The people tore down the altars for the Baal gods as Hoshaiah directed. Then Hoshaiah cut down the incense altars that were above them. He broke up the Asherah idols and the wooden and metal idols and beat them into powder. Then he sprinkled the powder on the graves of the people who had offered sacrifices to these gods. He burned the bones of their priests on their own altars. So Hoshaiah removed idol worship from Judah and Jerusalem, and from the towns in the areas of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, all the way to Naphtali, and in the ruins near these towns. Hoshaiah broke down the altars and Asherah idols and beat the idols into powder. He cut down all the incense altars in all Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. In Hoshaiah's 18th year as king, he made Judah and the temple pure again. He set Shaphan, son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the city leader, and Joah, son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord, the God of Hoshaiah. These men went to Hilkiah the high priest and gave him the money the Levite gatekeepers had gathered from the people of Manasseh, Ephraim, and all the Israelites who were left alive, and also from all the people of Judah, Benjamin, and Jerusalem. This is the money they had brought into the temple of God. Then the Levites gave it to the supervisors of the work of the temple of the Lord, and they paid the workers who rebuilt and repaired the temple. They gave money to carpenters and builders to buy cut stone and wood. The wood was used to rebuild the buildings and to make beams for them, because the kings of Judah had let the buildings fall into ruin. The men did their work well. Their supervisors were Jahath and Obadiah, who were Levites from the family of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam, who were from the family of Kohath. These Levites were all skilled musicians. They were also in charge of the workers who carried loads and all the other workers. Some Levites worked as secretaries, officers, and gatekeepers. The Levites brought out the money that was in the temple of the Lord. As they were doing this, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the Lord's teachings that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the royal secretary, "I found the book of the teachings in the temple of the Lord." Then he gave it to Shaphan. Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to Hosea, "Your officers are doing everything you told them to do. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have given it to the supervisors and the workers." Then Shaphan, the royal secretary, told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from the book to the king. When the king heard the words of the teachings, he tore his clothes to show how upset he was. He gave orders to Hilkiah, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the royal secretary, and Asaiah, the king's servant. These were the orders. "Go and ask the Lord about the words in the book that was found. As for me and for the people who are left alive in Israel and Judah, the Lord is very angry with us because our ancestors did not obey the Lord's word. They did not do everything this book says to do." So Hilkiah and those the king sent with him went to talk to Huldah the prophetess. She was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, who took care of the king's clothes. Huldah lived in Jerusalem in the new area of the city. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, 'This is what the Lord says. I will bring trouble to this place and to the people living here. I will bring all the curses that are written in the book that was read to the king of Judah. The people of Judah have left me and have burned incense to other gods. They have made me angry by all the evil things they have made. So I will punish them in my anger, which will not be put out. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to ask the Lord, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the words you heard. When you heard my words against this place and his people, you became sorry for what you had done, and you humbled yourself before me. You tore your clothes to show how upset you were, and you cried in my presence. This is why I have heard you, says the Lord. So I will let you die and be buried in peace. You won't see all the trouble I will bring to this place and the people living here.'" So they took her message back to the king. Then the king gathered all the older leaders of Judah and Jerusalem together. He went up to the temple of the Lord, and all the people from Judah and from Jerusalem went with him. The priests, the Levites, and all the people, from the most important to the least important, went with him. He read to them all the words in the book of the agreement that was found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and made an agreement in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and obey his commands, rules, and laws with his whole being, and to obey the words of the agreement written in this book. Then Hosea made all the people in Jerusalem and Benjamin promise to accept the agreement. So the people of Jerusalem obeyed the agreement of God, the God of their ancestors. Then Hosea threw out the hateful idols from all the land that belonged to the Israelites. He led everyone in Israel to serve the Lord their God. While Hosea lived, the people obeyed the Lord, the God of their ancestors. And turning now to the New Testament, we have 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace God gave the churches in Macedonia. They have been tested by great troubles, and they are very poor. But they gave much because of their great joy. I can tell you that they gave as much as they were able, and even more than they could afford. No one told them to do it, but they begged and pleaded with us to let them share in this service for God's people. And they gave in a way we did not expect. They first gave themselves to the Lord and to us. This is what God's want. So we asked Titus to help you finish this special work of grace, since he is the one who started it. You are rich in everything, in faith, in speaking, in knowledge, in truly wanting to help, and in the love you learn from us. In the same way, be strong also in the grace of giving. I am not commanding you to give, but I want to see if your love is true by comparing you with others that really want to help. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know that Christ was rich, but for you he became poor, so that by his becoming poor you might become rich. This is what I think you should do. Last year you were the first to want to give, and you were the first who gave. So now finish the work you started. Then your doing will be equal to your wanting to do. Give from what you have. If you want to give, your gift will be accepted. It will be judged by what you have, not by what you do not have. We do not want you to have troubles while other people are at ease, but we want everything to be equal. At this time you have plenty. What you have can help others who are in need. Then later, when they have plenty, they can help you when you are in need, and all will be equal. As it is written in the Scriptures, the person who gathered more did not have too much, nor did the person who gathered less have too little. I thank God because he gave Titus the same love for you that I have. Titus accepted what we asked him to do. He wanted very much to go to you, and this was his own idea. We are sending with him the brother who is praised by all the churches because of his service in preaching the good news. Also, this brother was chosen by the churches to go with us when we deliver this gift of money. We are doing this service to bring glory to the Lord and to show that we really want to help. We are being careful so that no one will criticize us for the way we are handling this large gift. We are trying hard to do what the Lord accepts as right, and also what people think is right. Also, we are sending with them our brother, who is always ready to help. He has proved this to us in many ways, and he wants to help even more now, because he has much faith in you. Now about Titus. He is my partner, who is working with me to help you. And about the other brothers. They are sent from the churches, and they bring glory to Christ. So show these men the proof of your love, and the reason we are proud of you. Then all the churches can see it. And that concludes our reading for today. I hope you will join us again tomorrow as we conclude the book of 2 Chronicles and continue in 2 Corinthians. God bless.